All right. Welcome, folks, to the Aries Working Group call for the 23rd of November, 2022. And we're creeping rapidly up on the end of this particular year. A link to the agenda is in the chat. Drop in edit mode so I can see new stuff. IW summary, and then there's a couple of tickets that I wanted to address real quick from before we did close a lot the last time we met, which was 2 weeks ago. A couple of lingering ones, and I am sure that I talked with someone in the week up to or at IW about something to present today, but I don't remember for the life of me who it was. So I apologize if that's the case, and do please speak up when we get down to the agenda adjustments, and if you happen to be here and we can make that happen today, we will likely have a little bit of time. So Stephen?
Yeah, it is the Aries iOS.
Demo, right?
And oh, I'm not sure if the person is here, but then I only know their handle on GitHub or on Discord. So I think they're not here. Speak up if you are. No, I don't see them. So we'll have to arrange that for next week.
Okay. So I try to take notes and keep organized, and I'm not perfect at it. I apologize. Okay, so this is a Hyperledger call. There is an antitrust policy and a code of conduct in effect to help us avoid legal encumbrances and to be excellent to each other. Please do holler to any of the community regulars, and we can help you should there be a conflict that we need to resolve, and we'll make that happen. You're welcome to add yourself to the attendees list. Is there anyone new that would like to introduce themselves? Awesome. I pulled IW off the list of announcements, as that was last week. Are there any announcements that should be on our list? When we get a little bit closer, we can coordinate how the calendar falls for the end of year Christmas holiday season, but we're not quite there yet. Any other announcements we should have up? All right. Do any projects want to share release status or work updates for the progress that they're making? I peek through the various sub-channels we've got. I know that the DIDCOM effort to add DIDCOM V2 into Aries is an active conversation. And I believe, Stephen, they've now got a regular meeting.
Yes.
Is that true?
There's now a meeting on the calendar every Monday. They have a Zoom channel, and we'll be doing that. The Roots ID folks, Lance is leading that as the host of that. And then just to jump into the IIW updates, SICPA has donated their DIDCOM V2 libraries to Aries and Open Wallet to enable that. And that was announced last week in a session on DIDCOM V2.
Which is awesome and exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. So work is going on in those areas. In particular, I believe it's ACAPI and AFJ are targets of that group to add DIDCOM V2 into those respective frameworks.
Well, we said DIDCOM V2 enough. We managed to summon Lance. Welcome, Lance. Any updates on the efforts going on? We just discussed that there's now a regular meeting and lots of stuff going on.
Hello, friends. Yes, thank you for mentioning that. Let's see. What is going on? we have a Discord group that's been going on. We had our first meeting. I've lost now when that was. I think, yes, on Monday.
Yes.
We did our right. Go ahead. Sorry.
Monday, 6 a.m. I'm looking at the calendar right now. 6 a.m. Pacific time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And what is that? Make it 3 p.m. 1500 hours in Europe.
Yeah, so the kind of the concept there, we put out a little survey, and the diff meetings for DIDCOM are pretty late for Europeans. And so this is another meeting, essentially, that's more that's better for them, not so good for West Coast US or Canada folks. Anyways, it gives us another opportunity to essentially talk through some of these pain points for different DIDCOM V2 implementations and, you know, what keeps them from being interoperable. So we had a good discussion there with Hakan and the other Roots ID guys that are working DIDCOM stuff. We had demonstrated essentially some DIDCOM V2 integration at IIW, but then there was also a session at IIW where they where like Varamo, for instance, has a DIDCOM V2 implementation, and others just trying to do like a quick interop. And the bottom line is it's not super easy out of the box, but we're doing this big survey. We're hoping it's quite a good survey that helps different DIDCOM V2 implementations and all the other stuff that could possibly stand in the way of two agents being able to do a DIDCOM V2 interaction. And then this meeting that and this working group that we've formed is essentially more Aries focused in the belief that if Aries can get DIDCOM V2 right, and we can kind of document that between those agents, then the greater world of DIDCOM V2 will also benefit. So that's kind of the fast introduction. But yeah, we had our first meeting on Monday, and we're going to keep meeting as well as attending the DIF DIDCOM user group meetings and spec meetings. And yeah, we'll just get this DIDCOM V2 thing rocking.
And there is DIDCOM V2 implementation submitted as a pull request a week or so ago to AFJ, right?
So yeah, absolutely. So yeah, you can watch that unfolding as well. So there's lessons learned from that as well. You know, thank you to the SICPA folks for everything that they're doing to contribute implementations and pull requests, for instance, for AFJ. And so, yeah, they've been great. That's an ongoing process as well. You know, integrating these things into an agent is... well, there's a lot of different ways you can do it, honestly. But, you know, AFJ is moving to like a much more modular and, you know, kind of this independence movement so that AFJ is not just for Indy, right? Different ledgers can be used. And so kind of the same considerations have to be made for like a DIDCOM V2 integration. So there's some DIDCOM V1 support that is kind of baked into the core of AFJ a bit, and then maybe we want to make that a little bit more modular. So yeah, good stuff.
Super good, and thanks for Lance for leading that up and everything else. We're keep teasing stuff that happened at IIW, which is fine, but awesome. So very cool. And I'm anticipating that this is an effort that will continue until DIDCOM V2 is now adopted in the common Indy code bases, or sorry, Aries code bases. And then that effort will dissolve is kind of what I'm assuming.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Nice. Well, I very much appreciate everyone's efforts. You Lance for corralling that and helping it along. That's fantastic. Cool. Any projects that folks want to talk about and updates?
Just an update on AFJ. In addition to the pull request I mentioned there for DIDCOM V2, you've got W3C JSON LDVC still in progress. Well, I think it was the Friday before last. We've got issue credentials V2 for JSON LD is now merged into the main repo. So that was a major milestone for us. And there's a pull request in for present proof JSON LD. So we are pretty close to having completed that work now, which is something you might want to put there in your update.
Fantastic. Yes. Yeah, sorry, I don't always get to the typed parts, but the anyone is welcome to make an adjustment to the okay. agenda. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Sometimes I try and type fast, and sometimes I don't succeed. Cool. Thank you for that. That's awesome. Any other updates? All right. What I had on my agenda for today was to briefly talk about the happenings at IIW. And then we have Aries iOS. Lance, awesome. Just got links in chat to the Discord. And then if we get to it, there's two push notification PRs that stalled from last time that I was hoping we could get to, but that's a little less important. Any adjustments we want to make to the agenda before we get going? Things that we ought to be talking about that's not there, or anything else? All right. IW was good. In the section, we're looking for those of us that were able to attend to be able to report out on various aspects or discussions that were had. I just copied the things that we had talked about in advance in case it's useful in our conversation. Does anyone want to share things that occurred or realizations that they had, even if they were not necessarily tied to a specific session?
Sam, I would like to just mention that Daniel Hardman ran an interesting session on the wallet metaphor. And our group is not the only one who uses wallet as a metaphor. Apple Pay and Google Pay use it for one kind of thing, and the various cryptocurrencies use it for a different kind of thing. And then we use it for SSI. And so it would be worth looking that up. I will put a link to his slideshow in the chat.
That would be great, and I can link that here. That will be really great. I didn't get as IW happens. You can't get all the sessions, and that was one I missed. So I'll be interested in looking that up.
The main takeaway was to use the metaphor mindfully. Be aware of its limitations.
Hmm. Yeah, I noticed that as well, that for example, the OpenID Connect definition that they're using is quite different. So I would say we have two here in the Aries community. There's two that have been used over the years for what wallet means. And those two being what is referred to as the indie wallet in the indie SDK, which means just the basically secure storage and key management service. And then the Aries bifold wallet definition, which is a mobile application, you know, user interface and all parts of it. What OpenID is now using is the idea that there is a entity that holds the credentials of an individual somewhere, and that you get control. And you provide authorization to access that. And so it's a active element, but the only thing it has in it is credentials. So that is yet another definition. So that's really interesting about Daniel doing that. I have to take a look at, interested to see the notes he's got.
Indeed. Thank you, Bruce, for bringing that up. Stephen, you did one on bifold.
I did not.
You did not?
I did a set. Well, yes and no. Yes, I did. Sorry. I did a session on Aries in general.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And, to bring people up, including a discussion of Aries, the goodness we're getting from collaboration and by structuring the code in such a way that most of the places can go. Many of the places can go, can when people are contributing, they're not just contributing to their own fork, but rather the common code base, which benefits everybody. And then, as I say, a general overview of Aries and where what the state of the world is there. Did not do a session on OCA, but I want to talk about OCA briefly at this session, maybe later.
There was a bunch about governance. There was maybe like five different sessions, and there was a conversation about combining the efforts between the DIF Trust Establishment Group and the Trust Server P Trust Registries Group that has been kind of sort of planned as an ongoing effort to unite those is finally coming to a close. There's to get to produce a joint working group and a joint workout between those orgs. Manu presented on Trustless, which is something that he presented at the Rebooting Web of Trust. There was one of the common things about all of these conversations is that there was a lot of people interested in the basic concept. And so every session ended up with a description of what the of kind of what the basic idea of was and that you're trying to solve. Meaning, you know, should we trust the issuer of this credential? There was an awful lot of conversation about that. And so that's a nice progression from last time where there was just enough interest that we ended up, you know, combining the work over at the DIF there. So so now it's more obvious that there's an increase in interest and a general understanding of the problem, which is really good. And so I anticipate kind of a lot of movement between this IW and the next IW as it relates to that. I'm using IW as kind of an artificial marker here, but a useful one to sort of gauge the increase in understanding there. So that's really good. We had a demo that we displayed of what a basic UX could look like for the administration of static files. You know, to publish and edit without having to, you know, get into the syntax of the file itself, that Simon on our team did a great job of. And so, that was a good, thing to talk about. And that was what we had as part of the demo that we did during the demo day table, exercise where folks walk around and see demos. And so, that was pretty well received. And that was pretty great. The other thing that I'll mention is that, the last IW was the first time I heard DIDCOM described to someone by someone who was not a typical DIDCOM person, but accurately. And that happened twice last IW. This IW, I heard several people mention that they had already decided that DIDCOM was going to be something that they supported in their product. And these were folks that, you know, were not previously in that camp before. And so there was a lot more sort of recognition of how that happened. And I guess at that point, I should mention the manufactured controversy of our comparison between OpenID Connect and DIDCOM session that was held that was really good. And it highlighted and increased understanding, I think, on all sides of where they were similar and where they were different, and that helped it out a lot. So that was a fun session. It attracted a lot of attention, and I think that hopefully it was helpful in increasing understanding generally about kind of what the options are and when that's useful. So. So there, that's a little bit of my summary of the couple things that I was involved in. Are there thoughts or reports that folks want to share?
As you mentioned, I did a presentation on non-creds that went well, and a lot of also did side sessions with people on how to structure the JSON LD such that we can have a non-creds credential in W3C format and also be able to sign the credential. So that's been interesting as we pursued that. The other thing that I found was to use a basketball analogy, the OpenID folks were doing a full court press. So everything, you know, basically there was almost a session continuously on OpenID Connect, and or sorry, not OpenID Connect, OpenID for VCs. So it's not related to OpenID Connect. It's independent of that. It's OpenID for VCs, or sort of a repositioning of the work they're doing. And of course, Sam, you should talk about the Deathmatch.
Well, that was the one I referred to already. Oh, sure. That was good.
Yeah, that it wasn't, the DivCom and OpenID were not the same. it really was, I found it interesting that just every session was on that. Sorry about that, Sam.
No, you reminded me of a general observation that I had. Early on in this work, it feels like the stuff that we were designing was semi-pure in the sense that we were trying to not use existing technologies. And I've noticed about over the last year and a half, and it became a little bit more obvious at this last IW, which is kind of what triggered my brain, that there is a push among some in the community, not all, but some, that to try to accomplish the passage of verifiable credentials using as little new technology as possible. And so there's been an increased interest in the DID web method, for example, and in OpenID Connect for the passage of credentials, and leaning on username and password based login systems for that, et cetera. And I find that interesting. I don't know that I have any conclusions coming out of that, but I wanted to share that general observation that there's I don't know that a retreat is the right thing to label it as, but there has been a movement to more fully embrace traditional, I'll call it, methods of doing things, rather than trying to replace them with a credential driven higher level alternate or something to that manner. And that's been interesting to sort of watch. I don't think that the mixing of old and new is necessarily bad, but it's been interesting to make to watch the approaches that have been pursued by some in that manner. The DID web, for example, is an effort to remove the involvement of a blockchain in any way from the identity technology, which is of course not required, but has been common in a variety of places. And so that was an interesting observation that I've had, that there seems to be that press. And OpenID, the OpenID folks seem to be pretty darn involved in that particular one as it comes in that way. I mean, that's one of the elements of not needing sort of any other new technologies, which is interesting. One of the things that OpenID has, which we have not ever talked about adding to DidCom, and I sort of suspect we won't, is that OpenID Connect the OpenID model, which has been adapted for VCs, supports authentication with usernames and passwords without necessarily disclosing the username and password to the party that's actually doing the verifying, because they either require a browser or they can shell out to a browser in the case of a native application. And so that's something that we have not yet attempted to solve in a secure manner inside of DidCom, and I suspect we may not. The presentation, the demonstration of a held key, or the presentation of a credential seem to be the dominant ways by which authorization really happens inside of DidCom, as opposed to the presentation of a username and a password. There isn't a reason why you can't use OpenID together with DidCom, particularly when you're passing a DID. And so that's one of the reasons I suspect we may, as the DidCom community, never really go there, just because it's already solved by an existing method and it's a little bit backwards looking instead of forwards looking. Other observations?
I don't know if somebody already said this, but I mean, at least to me, it seemed pretty obvious that we're going to live like in a multi-protocol world where we're going to have to implement like DidCom, OpenID Connect, the mobile the ISO standard for like mobile driver licenses, as well as like different credential formats. So at least like that's kind of like what looked like to me. What do you guys think?
Alex, thanks for bringing that up. That was came up in the more explicitly in the deathmatch between OpenID and DIDCOM session. And that was a thing that Manu had said there. And I believe that's true. I've thought that for a while, but we haven't really talked very openly about it. And that folks are gradually realizing that we're going to live in a multi-credential format, multi-protocol world. And that it's unlikely that anything is going to quote unquote win. And so understanding the various attributes of each and when they're best used, I think is something that's sort of more and more dawning on the community broadly, which I think is a healthy realization. Thank you for bringing that up, Alex. I hadn't mentioned that. Looks like we've lost Rodolfo to the control of the stewardesses. Anyone else that wants to share anything?
Yeah, for me, it was my first IAW. I mean, just absolutely incredible event. If you know, for anybody who hasn't been, if you like this Aries the format in terms of, you know, all these different meetings you can jump into that have you know, some kind of specific you know, part of SSI that's, you know, interesting and useful to you. You know, IIWs like in turn the volume up to 11, and you know, you're gonna miss a bunch of sessions, but then you also get to attend a bunch of sessions that are just fantastic. Yeah, the bandwidth in person is you know, it you just can't replicate it, which is really cool. For me personally, I need to sleep way more at these events so that I don't fade so hard towards the end. Sam and I had a session about backup and recovery. I don't know how much you want to say about that, Sam, but I thought it was such a good session, so well attended. There was, if for people who don't know, well, you know, when you bring up a session, you don't know who's going to attend, right? You just put it out there. Sam put it out there that, hey, we're going to talk about backup and recovery. For those who don't know, you know, we had a meeting in Aries about 3 months ago regarding this. And essentially, you know, we want to come up with kind of a standard container that uses common tools like, you know, tar and GZ and just be able to produce something, a backup for wallets that could be used across vendors if you know, they're using the standard. And there was a point where it was just Sam and I sitting there and we had no idea if anybody would come, and instead, you know, a massive amount of people came. It was an incredible session with I think the Open Wallet Foundation folks there and a bunch of other people that I didn't know, but, you know, were very interested in the topic. And so there seems to be quite a bit of excitement about being able to create kind of an open standard format for backup and recovery of a wallet.
Lance, that slipped my mind, but we need to talk about that. I thought about it earlier and then forgot. So thanks for bringing that up. We did have that conversation that kind of started here and advanced in a really useful way. And there was a ton of interest, in fact. And one of the questions was, just where does this conversation continue? The general consensus was at the Wallet Security Working Group at the DIF. And we have some good notes and some good starting places that I think could result in a preliminary spec draft really pretty quickly. The other thing that I liked about this was that we, you know, people seem to respond well to sort of the limitation in scope, but also the flexibility that such a sort of a common backup container could provide, meaning we can innovate with what types of the formats of things that are inside of the backup without necessarily having to readapt the outer backup container. And so there was lots of interest in this particular thing. It also lets us solve the sort of container problem without having to first solve issues like, well, how do I back up a DID that leans on a key that's tied to hardware storage? or like a, or like an HSM module where I can't really back up and restore it. And how do I make that happen? Those are good conversations, but mildly orthogonal to the, how can we manage sort of a universal backup and restore outer shell so that we can then talk about the inner format concerns that exist. So that was super good. Lance took some great notes. And so did Dimitri, Lance. There was another set of notes that were taken, which is useful. And so it's on my to-do list after the Thanksgiving holiday to get that kickstarted inside the Wallet Security Working Group to continue that conversation on a regular basis. I imagine it will be a scheduled work item meeting of that working group. And we'll see how often we can meet and make that work. But I'm excited about the progress there. I almost didn't hold that session because I didn't know how much interest there was really going to be. And as Lance said, it was he and I, and then all the people showed up and people with previous experience and opinions and a great desire to make this happen. And it ended up being one of the more productive sort of figure things out sessions I might've ever experienced at an IW. So that was a really good conversation as well. And I'll, as that proceeds, I'll noise that about here as well. So very cool. Anything else that we've gotten, Stephen?
Yeah, so couple other things that I thought were super interesting, or at least were interesting, the SD Jot discussion. Again, OpenID, they get a lot of pushback because they don't have the features of an on-creds basically. So SDJOT was presented. So SDJOT is Selective Disclosure JOT. So basically, they enable a way to do selective disclosure, basically by instead of signing the data, signing a salted hash of the data, and then allowing you to selectively, show the salted hash of all of the elements in what you prove, but only display the data that derives the hash for selected fields. So that allows them to do that. Interestingly, they extend that out to say, well, but we could also do predicates by putting selective flags. So you have a data element that is date of birth, and then you have another one that said over 21, and you have another one that said over 18, another one that said over 65. And that way you get predicates so that by selectively disclosing only one of those four items, you can prove an age without exposing date of birth. So that's kind of the non-ZKP way of doing that. Of course, that has limitations. And then the other one that I thought was interesting that they even addressed was the idea that you have to share a correlatable identifier when you share a JOT in the style that they've been proposing. So the idea that they presented was to A, issue many credentials to an individual or many credentials of a type, two of them, each with a different salted hash, and each based on a holder provided public key for doing holder binding. And the idea that you would only ever give a credential, an instance of a credential out once to a verifier. And when you ran out of a supply of your credentials, you just go ask the issuer to give you some more. So I thought all of those were interesting approaches to those challenges. Tim?
Yeah, and I just really just was interesting that SD Jot, that's pretty much exactly how MDL works.
Okay.
That's what they do. That's they do selective disclosure, and their list of under 19, over 29 is a massive matrix of possible credentials. It gets very large in a hurry. It's quite interesting to look at the table, but it seems like they've kind of cloned that MDL approach to some degree.
That's interesting. And then this idea of I was kind of surprised by this one. The idea of we'll just give you 50 credentials. When we issue you a credential, we give you 50 copies of it, each unique, and then you use one at a time. And when you run out, you go get more. And presumably also when one of your age flags changes, you go get more.
So So a lot of these things were referenced in the Twitter argument I did about predicates as well. And so it's interesting to see them kind of come back up there. Alex, definitely, Mike, they are having not IAWs, but basically sister type things in Europe and in, and there's at least one other one. So, but Europe is one that they're planning and they'll have at least one other one, and I think in Asia. So they're definitely working to sort of expand those conversations out, which is excellent. So, so good news on that front. The general interest, the approach they took was actually interesting. What they did, it was relatively simple. Instead of signing over all of the attributes, you hashed all of the attributes with a salt. And then that was the whole credential. And so you would present that piece every time so that the credential could be verified. But then you would include, if you wanted to disclose certain attributes, you would include the attribute and the salt so that you could recompute it and make sure that it was in the credential, sort of as a sidecar thing. And they sort of extended the JWT format to allow these inclusions with a tilde as a delimiter to include these disclosed things. And so it was kind of an interesting approach that I hadn't seen before, but does have the side effect that Stephen already mentioned, that it's highly correlatable. Anyone that receives that could make it work. And it's amazing to me, I'm obviously a fan of anoncreds, but it's amazing to me how hard people work to avoid needing the features that anoncreds have. So that's a very interesting aspect of that. To kind of observe the win here is that people have realized that selective disclosure is important, which in the early days was a battle that we were even remotely trying to fight at all. And so selective disclosure has now been generally accepted as a useful feature. So there's a little bit of conceptual progress forward on that front. A really good summary, Stephen. Thank you.
Yeah. So a second one that I thought was interesting and people should know about, and I'm going to call out to at some point this week to see the state of it from an open source perspective. But Paul Bastian demonstrated the much talked about wallet security credentials, where a wallet issuer, wallet creator, sorry, wallet publisher, I guess is the right term. Again, using the term wallet, meaning mobile app that holds verifiable credentials. The credential where they check that, you know, what version of, you know, what publisher and version of the app are you using, and then a public key based in hardware. So that is now, there is now an implementation, a working implementation of that available. I assume when Paul did it, he did it as open source, but I realized I didn't ask him. So that's what I've got to follow up on. But for example, in Aries Bifold, that is something we might want to implement. So the idea there is you've got an attestation service about the wallet, and that's where you would get the credential from. So interesting stuff there.
And that was discussed a little while back now in this group as he was floating that approach, and we talked about it.
Yeah.
So there's those two things. One is asserting the application that you're using, which has some utility. And the other one is asserting that you are bound to a hardware key, and they can be used together quite well, but they can also be used separately if useful. So that's an expanded conversation that I think definitely would be useful to have in Bifold.
Yeah.
Any other topics? That was a really good summary, and you always forget how much actually happens. This was a particularly active one and very good.
Very good.
Cool. Hand up, Warren.
Yeah, thanks. It's a question to pose about the observation about living in a multi-protocol and multi-format world. And I'd just like to hear some opinions, and it doesn't have to be in this call, but either now or in future, about what that, how people think that might present. So is this something where we're looking at, you know, conversions from one thing to another, so you can kind of implement one and have gateways, or is it something that's going to live out the edges and the edges will have to support all these different things, or where will it live in the networks? So there's probably multiple answers to this, but I'd be very interested to hear people's takes on what that world might look like.
I'll offer one, and this is the OpenID for VC people were very clear that they're that work does not have an opinion about the credential being passed, which means it would work with MDL, it would work with the non-creds, it would work with JSON-LD, et cetera. And so from a communication protocol, multi-protocol world perspective, it appears that most of the protocols involved don't have an opinion about the credential, which means that any of them can be used, which means that if you get issued a credential, for example, over DIDCOM, you could present over OpenID for VC or vice versa, to no effect. And so what that means is that that work is actually pushed out to the edge. And then, you know, you may have one or more protocols that each of the pieces of software support. And then, you know, ideally there's a matchup between what you're using and what the other party is. Nathan, your hands up.
One of the troubles we have as we go through this as a standard is we're caught between what's possible and what's practical. And solving issues like the roots of trust and fundamentals of key management are required in order to make anything practical work at all. And we want to very, very much stay focused on that part of the problem, because if we have one path that works, what opens up is all of this possible in terms of a trusted chain of computing. Because once we know we've got a root of trust that's plausible, even if it's not our native root of trust, we can do all kinds of trusted computations and transformations. But all the things that have come out of some of the different semantic working groups about taking one credential and then transforming it using a known trusted algorithm, all that opens up if we have that fundamental part of the trust chain. And so, you know, I think we want to be careful we don't get distracted by all of that can be possible going forward, until we get that first golden thread all the way through between more than one domain. But once we have that, wow, we're going to have a lot of fun.
Alex.
Yeah, I might be oversimplifying this, but like in my mind, the way I see different credential formats, at the end of the day, I see them as having different level of trust and different use cases. So at least to me, it looks like a lot of like the MDL use cases are going to be government issued credentials, whether maybe JWTs might be credentials that can be presented only once, similar to like credit card points for whatever store you buy at, and so on and so forth. It might be like a very easy, like a oversimplification of it, but that's kind of like the way I'm picturing it.
I don't think so. And I'll give an example. Anoncreds has the best collection of privacy preserving features at the moment, but you can't actually carry an Anoncred about something else because it has to be presented by the holder of that credential. For example, if I wanted to I work for Indicio. If I wanted to prove to you something about Indicio, that becomes more complicated. And a lot of those use cases, those credentials don't need the same privacy features, but they do need the ability to be presented by somebody else. And so, for example, I can have a JSON-LD credential that demonstrates maybe that Indicio is a contributor to Hyperledger Ares. It's a JSON-LD credential alongside an non-cred employment credential that I can selectively disclose things out of as it relates more closely to personal data. So I think that you are correct in the sense that most of the formats that we have different abilities, and that the use of each of them for their actual intended purposes is likely and a good idea. I think that there will be some more direct overlap, where there might be a couple of formats that are basically functionally equivalent or property equivalent, but are just common in different communities. And I think that over time, those will gradually decrease, but we're not ever going to get rid of the ones that have just basic differences in features that are fundamental. Other thoughts, Warren? That was an excellent question.
Yeah, I appreciated that response, Sam. Is there any writing, either by you or anybody else, that kind of encapsulates some of the, you know, the how these things might be combined and why you might do that? Like, that was a really interesting use case about proving something about my employer that I don't have the, you know, in the non-creds, I can't do because I'm not the holder.
So not holistically. Anyways. We've talked about credential supplements recently in this group, and one of the use cases of a supplement is to pass a credential about the issuer of the main credential you're actually presenting, and those credentials those things could apply in that way. Meaning, that was one of the use cases, is the ability to sort of present something about the issuer, meaning the company that I work for, and the subject credential that's me, alongside each other to provide a chain of trust. So I don't know that there's been like a seminal work on that, but it's come up in a couple of different contexts, including the credential supplements. The idea is that credential supplement could pass certificates that could exist in a chain of trust for a variety of purposes.
Well, and the classic use case here is a police badge, right? The badge is used to prove your authority, the authority of the police office, more often than it is to prove the authority of the officer, right? It's an appeal to a different authority. It's saying I am an authorized representative of. So we have to be careful when we start trying to build delegated trust scenarios around the drawback, because usually you would just use a different kind of credential.
There's also some work I did, and I'd have to go find the link where I talked about the different clusters of interoperability that exist, and make the main observation that the reason why there's differences is because there were different initial starting use cases and assumptions. And so that leads to the idea that there's actually reasons, not simply it has been claimed that the only reason why different communities exist is because dogmatic devotion to some particular technology. I think a deeper understanding reveals that those different starting assumptions and different requirements led to the creation of different technologies. And so it's a little bit foolish to assume that everyone just needs to realize how right I am, and more realize what those starting assumptions were, and then how we can leverage the technologies created from there for very specific purposes. So the ARIES project here though it was born from within one community, has never been about a specific credential technology or even about a specific transport. It's not even remotely inappropriate, for example, for an ARIES agent to implement OpenID Connect for VC. Like, that's not even remotely a conflict. I think it leads well to the work that we're doing, supporting the various, you know, use cases as motivate development and contribution by community participants. So that's exciting, in the fact that there's absolutely nothing conceptually here that would lead to something like a recharter of our effort, because we're already pointed in that way. We're already focused. And in fact, in a week, we Indicio is holding a thing where we're publicly demonstrating JSON-LD credentials as enabled by ACAPI, to try and help people understand that has never conceptually been the case, and in practicality is getting very real.
That was great. Thanks, everybody.
Fantastic question. Okay, cool. Any other comments on related topics? I think, Stephen, we have 8 minutes for OCA, or 7 minutes, unless anyone has another topic.
Yeah, the one question I've got. So the user experience teams at the three Canadian jurisdictions working on Bifold are doing a lot on the style guide, and they're getting into some areas that I find a little odd. that I'm not particularly a fan of, but I am just one voice. They are a voice. The idea of OCA for Aries as an RFC is that the community contributes to it. What I don't know is there anyone, are there people that are interested in the specifics of the card layout that Aries as a community would want to espouse, basically would support, and then the control that the issuer has and the control that the holder has over that information. So basically the mechanism now is that, you know, the intention is the Aries RFC will say, issuer, here are the levers you have to present your credential in a way that brands, you know, provides you branding opportunities, but they're limited. And then the style guide basically says, holders, the issuer is going to give you these pieces of information. Here's how, you know, you are expected to present it. And there's conflicts we're getting in this one particular group. And in particular, the group is very concerned with the idea that a holder would hold their phone up to a person and say, look, I've got a credential. And so they're very hesitant to provide much information or to do anything that would lead to that kind of behavior. So
Stephen, are you talking about that effort within the frame of the card or outside of the frame of the card?
So right now it's within the frame of the card.
Okay, thanks.
And so what I'm looking for is people that have opinions that are involved in user experience work to see if there's a, you know, more people with interest we can bring to the table on this. So is, you know, who at this group is, you know, involved in designing wallets and designing user experience related to the mobile application of verifiable credentials? Anyone?
We do. Indicio.
Okay.
Anybody else? There's room.
Yes.
So specifically, how a credential would be rendered in a card format is what Stephen's talking about to summarize. Yes.
And what, as I say, what we're trying to do is provide a guidance for an issuer to say, here's what you can do. And for a holder to say, here's what you issuer is expecting you to do with the data they provide. That's the dynamic we're trying to accomplish. And I think this group is hyper-focused on this idea that we want branding, but we don't want the user to ever hold their phone up to somebody. And they think that's an extreme concern. And I get it as a concern, but I don't think it is ultimate concern.
We've lost Lance. He's probably had to run somewhere else, but I suspect Lance would be interested based on the demo that they gave it.
Yeah, I can. I'm currently working on the Roots wallet holder, so I'll be more than happy to help and be part of that.
Okay, so what I'm probably going to do is have a session with that where we include that group, the Pan-Canadian UX group, and then other voices.
It would probably be good to reach out to Horacio Nunez on this. Kiva did a lot of work on this with the SVG presentation templates, and he had a lot of design thinking and also implementation thinking that didn't make it all the way out into the community because we were pulled off of this project before he got that far. But I he would probably be interested in participating as well.
Okay. Nathan, could you shoot me his email?
Will do.
Thank you. Anyone else from the community on this call that would or knows of people interested in that? Okay, thanks.
Cool.
Okay. Jakob, thanks. I'll include you.
Okay. You're welcome to chat. Thank you, Jakob, for joining in as well. Perfect. I think that we're out of time. Anything else that we need to bring up? Well, sounds good. If you're an American, happy Thanksgiving. If you're anyone else, happy Thursday, and we will see everyone next week. Hope everything is a great one.
Happy Thanksgiving, folks.
Thanksgiving, everyone.